thank you for those testimonies. I think we're turned on. I am just so grateful and so happy just to be here this morning.
Hallelujah.
And enjoy, I just so much enjoy being with people, fellowshipping with people. It means a lot to me.
Amen.
And now this morning we're acknowledging the Holy Spirit and His purpose to glorify Jesus in this service. He is at work. Christ is risen from the dead, and He sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and our advocate and our guide. That's one thing that I want to re-emphasize, especially maybe next week after I'm done with this particular teaching, that I'm going to try and finish up on the, what happened from the cross to the throne. Really important. Now, when I give a teaching like this, it is certainly a teaching that I don't claim to know everything about, but at least I try and find the foundational meaning of it. So, praise the Lord. Let's just stand up just for a moment. I really believe the Holy Spirit is at work.
Amen.
Let's receive Him. Let's raise our hands and thank Jesus that He sent the Holy Spirit. And each one of us can hear Him and be transformed by Him and be taught by Him. He's the only one that understands the true meaning of the Word of God. And that's the only way we can ever understand the true meaning of the Word of God, is if the Holy Spirit teaches us. And so we covet. We don't depend on human wisdom. We don't depend on our knowledge and how clever we might be about it or how much knowledge we have. We need the grace of God to make real the Holy Spirit. And we just receive Him now in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen and amen.
Amen.
Now this morning there will be prayer up front. And I just want to say this. If you're here this morning and you just feel like, you know, you're stuck or you're between a rock and a hard place, you know, for instance, like the Israelites did when they went to the Red Sea and the enemy was behind them and there was no way. I just want to say something. There was no way until God made a way.
Amen.
You know, and I want to speak this word from the Holy Spirit that God is going to make a way for you where there is no way. It might look, you might not be hopeless, but you might feel completely helpless to do anything about a situation you may be in. You don't feel like you see any way out. You don't understand where God is or what He will do. Now, I can testify of those things happening to me where I didn't doubt God or was I in unbelief, but I didn't know what was going to happen. And God came through, you know, I mean, the Israelites, He told them to hit the rock and water came out of the rock. So they didn't expect water to come out of the rock, and obviously that rock represented Jesus Christ. I want you to know there's water in the rock. Okay, we just have to put our faith in that rock.
Amen.
I'm going to hit the rock this morning as we move forward. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to tell you something. Do not underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't underestimate Him. Nothing has changed from the moment that Jesus poured out His Spirit. Nothing has changed. He's there. Okay, what changes is our thinking.
Amen.
And I'm not receiving anything less than what God has done and what God has provided. Now, we've been dealing with what happened from the cross to the throne, all right? And certainly this is not an in-depth teaching on that, okay? We went over the fact, and I just to reiterate a little bit, and I did acknowledge the last fact that his eternal high priesthood was the last fact, which would have been, I think, the seventh point in what happened from the cross to the throne. And obviously this is extreme. This is as important as any of them. He died for us that we died with him. Then we deal with the fact that Jesus' death was a co-crucifixion. Not only did Jesus die, we died with him. We were crucified with him. The old man in Adam was put to death, and we became the new man in Christ. We became a new creature in Christ Jesus. There, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And so there's a lot that can be said from the scripture about the reality of what did happen. I always call them new creation realities. We became a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Christ now lives in us. The old person died. Okay. And then, of course, the burial of Christ. And we were buried, that old person. When we think about burial, we think about death. We think about the permanence of death and how we go to the graveyard or some lot of cremations now, but it's permanent. We do not expect to see that person again alive. You know, not in this lifetime, okay? And so we look at the permanence of, we call it temporal death if you're in Christ, because you're going to be raised from the dead. I understand that. But we don't expect a person that has died in this lifetime that we'll ever see them again the way they were, in this lifetime, okay? So we bury them. We bury them. And that's what happens to our old man in Christ. He's buried in baptism, and he's risen in newness of life. So that's one of the things that happened from the cross to the throne. Not only was Jesus buried, and let me just say that when Jesus died on the cross, it was what really took place there was completely misunderstood. It looked like a total defeat. It looked like a total failure. But it was the greatest victory through time and eternity that could ever take place. And so we died with him, and the old person was buried. Now, you know, there might be something symbolic about the idea of maybe I think about dumb things, but maybe I should build a little grave site that says Mike Bronick died on such and such a date and became alive in Christ. There's the old Mike that was in Adam, although sometimes I still probably act like I'm in Adam, but I but there he is. Okay. Wouldn't it be interesting to make a little gravesite there and just and acknowledge what happened?
Hallelujah.
When Christ died and was buried, we were buried with him. We died and we were buried with him. Okay, now where's your grave? Probably not scriptural, but wouldn't that be neat to see a grave there and you're in it? And somebody say, well, how can you be in that grave? Well, no, that's the old Mike that was in Adam that died. Okay? So we need to be reminded, we need to renew our mind on the reality of this, because the interesting thing is my old man in many ways, I'm not talking about, a lot of times we get caught up in our emotions. I don't care who you are. You can be upset. I was telling Pastor Dave this morning, I'm sometimes it's good to get angry. Anger isn't always a bad thing. Because, God was angry, and it will motivate you to take charge of something, to change it, okay? Well, we better not go any further than that, but it's all right to be righteously angry about something in your life that you're not going to tolerate anymore. You're not going to put up with it anymore. So he's dead. And I'm glad he is. Okay. I'm not looking towards the flesh and living in sin and living in selfishness and self-centeredness, and he's gone. And then the resurrection. We were raised. Each one of these realities that took place from the cross to the throne are we could teach extensively on each one of them. But I'm just trying to bring the points out so that you yourself can take these points and, further your understanding from the Holy Spirit of what really happened when Christ rose from the dead. You rose from the dead. Okay, you rose in newness of life. And then, of course, the ascension. And, I did put together information on that and a teaching on that, okay, but it's a big deal, the ascension, that Jesus broke through, and the powers of darkness had no way to hinder or have a hold on him ascending through their territory. And then the seating of Christ. And of course, not only was Christ raised up, but we were raised up with him, and we ended up being seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ. Okay. In other words, signifying that we entered into the rest of a finished work of redemption. We were seated there, and we're still seated in that rest. Hallelujah. Okay, and we have to renew our mind to that. I've got several scriptures on that, and I'm not going to go over any of them this morning because I want to just remind you that you are seated. Then I think it was the sixth point, we are reigning with him. We are reigning with him. Okay, that's what happened from the cross to the throne. We ended up being exalted and seated with Christ, and we ended up in a place where we were reigning in his royal authority. Okay, the word reign, kingly, judicial, rule, having kingdom rule and dominion. Powerful. Romans 5:17. They that receive the abundance of grace, say abundance of grace.
Abundance of grace.
God, give us a revelation of your grace. God, give us that revelation. Because it's unlimited. It can't ever be not enough. It can never run out. Okay. This is a we need to constantly, I pray for all of us that the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal the grace of God to us and the power of that grace. It comes down to your life. It comes down to a personal application of your walk with God, of your everyday life. Regardless of how that all plays out, the most important thing in that is to understand that you have the abundance of grace and that you have been made righteous. Christ has become your righteousness. Now, there's a real shield of faith there, because you're living in a fallen world full of condemnation, full of deception, full of incidents that are quite deceptive and sometimes quite discouraging, and we can certainly be taken over. I'm going to be doing a teaching, and this is just crazy. I mean, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me, and I don't know when I'm going to do it, on all this UFO phenomenon and what is going on and what's happening in our world right now with all this stuff appearing. And does the Bible have anything to say about UFOs? Absolutely. It has everything to say about it. And we need to get it in a proper perspective so that we're not in a situation where we think that, that they've come from another realm. I'm going to tell you something. God created all things. God created everything that's created. So there isn't anything independent of God going on at all. He created it all. It was all for his purpose. And he's going to end up, governing all of it. Okay, so we need to stay away from the deception that was coming out, and I won't say where it was, but it was coming out of, the Vatican. talking about, can we baptize aliens? Read our Bible, please. But anyway, I guess if you were baptized, we could say somebody that we call an alien, I suppose, if they were. We don't baptize angels because they were there before the creation of the world, and Job starts right out from there. Well, don't get me talking about all this. It's very interesting, by the way. I'm going to give biblical answers to these things so that you're not confused, okay? I think we need some biblical answers that are based on Scripture. And then the last point that I never touched on last week was his eternal high priesthood. And obviously this is, of course, one of the most important ones for us to identify with. And the Bible says that he holds his priesthood preeminently because he continues forever in that priesthood. Okay, so we've got a great high priest, okay, that has passed into the heavens. And we can fully have access to him. We can fully identify with the reason that he is our high priest. And we need to come to a simple understanding that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Hallelujah. I think that's a big deal. Now, I've got a lot here, but I'm not. It looks like a lot, but it isn't. And most of it I don't use. It says, therefore, I just want to talk about the high priesthood right now, because we have to have a high priest that we can identify fully with. And it says in Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is able to save completely those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for us. Let's look at that just for a minute. Let's think about that, okay? For he is able to save them to the uttermost that come on, that's the King James, God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There's nothing he can't redeem. There's nothing that can't be saved. Even if you're a Christian and you're redeemed, he can intercede in your behalf. You know, when the Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession for us, he's there as God's, the Father's mediator, okay, between God and man, and as, of course, he's there as our great high priest. When I think about going into the throne room and different things like that, I think it's very fascinating to think about those things, because I don't know everything about all that. You sit there and you think, what's the throne room look like? Where is it? You know, think about it for a moment. I mean, how high was Jesus exalted when he was highly exalted to sit at the right hand of the Father? Is there a place in this vast universe, above this universe, above creation, where God dwells? There's a throne room there. And that throne room is called a throne room of grace. What does it look like? We know Jesus is there. We know he's there for one reason. He ever lives, okay, to make intercession for us. Man, you want to talk about love, eternal love. Think about it for a minute. The Bible says he ever lives. He's always there to make intercession for us. We should never have a doubt about who Jesus is as our great high priest and where he is as our great high priest. There can be, all doubt can be eliminated when the light's turned on and we see the truth about Scripture. So I want to just read a couple scriptures on this before we... and thank you for that wonderful testimony you gave this morning and that scripture, the wisdom that was there in that. Let's go to Hebrews 2:17, because I want to find out. Go ahead, yeah. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. So he became a man like we are, that he might be merciful. He could identify, okay, and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now look at that word mercy. He might be merciful. If there's one thing about God that we must understand in him relating to us, especially down here on earth, that we're redeemed, we need to think about his mercy. And I'm going to just tell you why. Satan's the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? And condemnation is something, whether you realize it or not, okay, you may be relating, you may be struggling in your life with subconscious condemnation. Okay. I think we all do it, whether we know it or not. Okay. And mercy is something that God has provided to forgive us and to reconcile us as though we've never sinned. You know, the Bible says that if we confess our sin, he's faithful. I'm not making light of sin. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not giving you a license to sin. I'm just saying that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. You see, once that takes place, he's looking at you as a merciful high priest, cleansing of putting your faith in his blood as though you never sinned. And sometimes we sin and we live for years under the condemnation of that guilt and shame and sin. Okay, we struggle with it. Okay, instead of putting our faith in his mercy, okay, that he's going to apply his blood to my sin and my past, and it's wiped out. We're still living in it. We're still condemning ourselves over it. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I haven't come up with my own idea. I'll take the blood over my own idea anytime. Hallelujah. You know, and we see in the past, you know, what religion has done to people. I mean, they would punish themselves. You know, walk upstairs on their knees, walk over nails, thinking that they're going to pay for their guilt and shame when the blood already did all of that.
Hallelujah.
And all that kind of stuff went on, and probably, if we aren't mistaken, goes on now. Amen. In some form. Okay, and Jesus made reconciliation for all of that on his throne. Amen. Now think about I'm completely astonished when I think about God and his throne. I don't understand it all, but I do know that when Jesus was highly exalted, okay, how high is highly exalted? Where was he exalted to? We know he went with the Father to the throne of grace. But where is that? How high is that? When we think about the fact that he created the whole universe. There's a place where Jesus was exalted to with the Father, okay? It's obviously timeless. It's obviously a place that's always been there. Okay. But how high is that? I don't understand. We don't understand that in space and time. Okay. Now, all science, the only way science can draw a conclusion is, let me see what that was. It's time, space, and matter. That's the only way that science can be science. If it doesn't have time, if it doesn't have space, and if it doesn't have matter, that's why science cannot figure out eternal life. You can't figure it out, okay? And I heard somebody, and I don't say it disrespect. He was a good teacher, but he kept trying to talk in terms of, trillions and trillions and trillions of years. No, it has nothing to do with time.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Eternity is timeless.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It has nothing to do with space. It has nothing to do with matter. Okay. Don't try and figure out God in temporal terms.
Hallelujah.
Don't try and figure him out that way because you're thinking wrong.
Amen.
Okay. I'm not. Timeless. See, there is no time in eternity. There is no such thing as time.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I don't understand it because we live in time.
Amen.
We're governed to a degree in these physical bodies by time. That's how we live. A lot of people are governed by the weather. It's all about what the weather's going to do today, you know. They can tell you everything about the weather report. Then when it goes wrong, they don't know what happened. Their whole life is surrounded by the weather. All right? I'm not. If that's you, please don't. We all look at the weather. Well, I better dig out of this hole. Time, space, and matter, where you aren't going to come up with any kind of scientific explanation for eternity, or timelessness. That's where God dwells. It's not that he doesn't intervene in the world and in time, but that's not where he dwells. He dwells in timelessness and always has and always will. Now, we're going to end up being with him. Amen. Can you comprehend something like that? I don't know why I'm talking about this. It's fascinating. Can you comprehend the throne room? And how God set that up through redemption. That we can actually go there. Now let's look at real quick our Hebrews 4. No. Yeah, let's go to Hebrews 4, 10 through 18. No, Hebrews 2:17. Thank you. That is a good one though. Okay, we didn't get there yet, no. Okay, I'm sorry. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Okay, there we go. Thank you. Don't they do a good job?
Amen.
You know, we're expecting them to do it the time of thought. that isn't going to work. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Okay, everybody say seeing.
Seeing.
That's our whole, that can end up being our whole problem. We don't see through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You might as well stop right there, because you can sit under a message and, you know, a couple hours later, well, what did he preach on? I don't know, you know, because we're not seeing. We're not really conscious.
Come on, that's good. Good point. Yeah.
Of the reality of what the Holy Spirit's trying to show us. It's just words. Come on, we got to get further. We got to get a little deeper than that, right? Okay. So seeing then. Seeing then. When Jesus became our high priest, that we have a great high priest. Say it with me, that we have, a great high priest.
A great high priest.
Say it again, that we have,
a great high priest.
We're not going to have, we have now.
Hallelujah.
And what did he do? Okay. He passed. He rose again, and then what did he do? Okay, he appeared for 40 days after he rose again. Okay, he appeared 12 times. We're going to take a look at that sometime. That's maybe, you know, he appeared 12 times. Well, yeah, but, you know, that was just to other people. I'm going to tell you something. Every appearance had significance.
Amen.
For us.
Amen.
In that, those appearances.
Amen.
These weren't just random appearances that just happened. They were planned appearances that had a significant message.
Amen.
For all of us.
Hallelujah.
Every one of them.
Hallelujah.
Okay, even though we weren't there then, we can identify now.
Amen.
With what Jesus said and what he did when he appeared those 12 times. Are you understanding?
Yes.
Amen.
Okay. We have a great high priest.
We have a great high priest.
Come on, take ownership.
We have.
Okay, don't put your faith in someone else to take ownership of what you have. Say, I have it. It's mine. Okay, now I'm not saying that in a selfish sense. You've got to lay hold on the reality of that. And what happened? He did what? He passed. He passed the test of time, space, temptation, every force in the earth was arrayed against him.
Amen.
And he overcame it all.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
That's
Hallelujah.
The victory of the cross.
Hallelujah.
The ascension. Significant. Couldn't be stopped.
Hallelujah.
Ascended triumphantly. Now some say that, you know, the Old Testament angels were ascended, you know, went up with him. I don't know that. E.W. Kenyon's got a book on it, and I don't make a statement until I know for sure it's scriptural, but E.W. Kenyon was a deep teacher, okay, and you can find his book, From the Cross to the Throne. As a matter of fact, I may get the book just to see what he said. Now, just be aware that I test everything with Scripture. And I'm not downing E.W. Kenyon. I love his book, Two Kinds of Righteousness. If you ever want to really read a book that's got power in it. Okay. But I don't just take face value something someone says until I check it out thoroughly with the Word of God. Okay, in a rightly divided manner. I think that's wise, isn't it? Well, he's a big name. He's so popular. Well, a lot of the popular ones fell into adultery and fornication and mismanage of the money, but yes, they were famous, all dressed up, they looked good, and they fell. Now, I'm not saying that in condemnation, please. But you don't go by looks and popularity and then believe it just because someone looks good and is very, very popular. I mean, you got people out there that are popular. And some of them are great, most of them are great, but then you find out years later behind the scenes that, you know, the guy was sleeping with four or five women, you know. I mean, I'm just telling you the reality of life. It isn't something that we're going to stumble over. All right? I don't make an excuse like that because I need to be accountable for myself, not overreact at what someone else did. Okay, stop there, but I'm just saying that, you know, what I'm trying to tell you is this, one way to put it, don't put anybody on a pedestal because they might be knocked off. All right? I remember one time, and I'm sure he's probably, well, maybe I better stop talking about this stuff. But hallelujah. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so he passed into heavens. Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or confession of faith.
Amen.
Let's go to I think we had verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So in other words, does anybody understand me when I am suffering? I feel confused or messed up. But was, okay, he understands. If, you know, how are you going to expect someone else to fully understand your pain or what you're going through? How would you ever expect them to do that? Jesus is the only one.
Hallelujah.
Okay, that can identify with us. The only one that understands. Say, he fully understands.
He fully understands.
He understands what you're going through better than what you understand what you're going through. All right? Okay, never forget that, because you're not alone in a world that's sometimes hostile.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people don't care. They don't identify with it, and I'm not advocating that they should. Well, doesn't anybody care? Yeah, Jesus cares. He understands. Okay. And so that's not a that should be not a stumbling block when others don't understand. That shouldn't be a stumbling block to you or an excuse to quit walking with God.
Right.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He identifies with temptation. He's able to secure those that are being tempted by his grace. We could just go on and on with these scriptures, but let's go to the next. Is that what we had? Okay, here it is. Let us therefore come where? Boldly. I never really could identify with that, you know. And I'm not sure I can now. Let us come boldly under the throne of grace. I was angry at God, and I came boldly. We got something done. He straightened me out. Boy, I tell you, I was so tempted to accuse him. And I just said, Lord, sometimes you just got to get angry.
Amen.
You know, God's not mad because you are being transparent about your life.
Come on.
Hey, somebody say he's got big shoulders.
He's got big shoulders.
He created the universe.
Hallelujah.
Okay. I'm sure your little thing didn't shake him up much. And he still loved me after it, but I had to have it out with him. I fought the law and the law won. But sometimes we just have to be transparent. I really think he's looking for transparency. Instead of coming with a big front and trying to, that don't work. Be transparent. Talk to him. Tell him what's on your heart.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You might get somewhere with that theology.
Amen.
Where did we go wrong? No, we're okay. Obtain mercy and find what? Grace. Okay, the first thing is mercy. We have to get through the mercy. We have to settle the issue with the blood and find grace to help in time of need, Hebrews 4:16. Isn't that a good scripture? That's our great high priest. That's our relationship to him. It is so clear and so exact. There should be no confusion. Okay, now quickly let's go to Hebrews 10:19-25. Hebrews 10:19-25. Okay, here it is again. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Now, we need to learn what that word boldness means. Okay, because it's not just coming with the word. Although that's important to have the confidence that when you approach God, you're doing it in the truth. You know, we're dealing with a human being here that's being tested. And sometimes I want to just tell God what I think, even though it doesn't always work out the way I hoped it would. I didn't correct God. He ended up correcting me. But having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter. Oh, my God. Say enter.
Enter.
What is going on here? Isn't this profound? That we can enter into the holiest Well, I'm ready to pass out. It's like the holiest. There is no place in the universe. There is no place higher or more holy for us to approach, to go there. And how do we do it? We do it by the blood of Jesus. You know, God doesn't recognize anything until it's cleansed by blood.
Amen.
It's redeemed by blood.
Amen.
The unredeemed are outside of this place.
Amen.
Okay. And my heart cries out because I see where they're headed. We're talking about a timeless eternity. I can't even fathom being unredeemed and going into a timeless eternity. Regardless of how much we may at times suffer in this life, I thank God that I'm not lost. I might not know everything, but I'm not lost. He redeemed me by his blood. Okay. So it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter. Everybody say enter.
Enter.
Into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Just enter by your faith. You're there. You're now. You're communicating. Let's go to verse 20, I think it is. Now, by a new and living way. It isn't the old covenant way, okay, at all. It's a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh was that veil that was opened the way for us to be in an eternal relationship with the Father and his Son. Our fellowship is with the Father and his Son through the Holy Spirit. How powerful could this be? What is this? Okay. And I'm not sure if we do have, I think we had, you could spend hours thinking about pondering this wonder. And having a high priest over the house of God. That's some people's problem. They won't come under the priest. They're over everything. You know what I mean? I guess that's called pride. But having a high priest over... Can we go back to that one real quick? We're going to close here in a minute. Look at it for a minute. Look at it for a minute. Let's not sleep. We have a high priest. Where is he? He's over the house of God. He governs this universe, but more than that, he governs us.
Amen.
Okay. Let's go to verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from what? An evil conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. Okay. Now clear that conscience. Okay. A true heart, not a false heart. Okay. A true heart. In full assurance of faith. Now you can take these scriptures and they are so profound. They're profound. And you know what they're there for? To meditate on.
Amen.
To call on the Holy Spirit and to ask him to teach us what they mean.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if it's the best term, but you start seeing this stuff, it'll blow your mind. It really will. It'll change your life. You want mind-blowing stuff? You aren't going to find it in the world. But you'll find it in the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I don't know why we use the term. I guess it's popular, but You know, there's so much we don't know, isn't there really?
Amen.
Isn't there really about God, about his timelessness, about time and space, about what's there in the heavens? They claim there's a place there where there's nothing for multiplied millions of light years. I don't know if they call it the horse head. The wonders of God and his creation, and the wonders of redemption and the plan of salvation.
Hallelujah.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Right?
Amen.
You know, so if you want to, you know, take these teachings, you want to go back over them as far as the transfer at the cross, that we dealt with the 9 transfers. Was it transfer? Yeah, we dealt with the... Unbelievable. This is your foundation. This is your relationship to God. It's all there, waiting for you not only to discover, but to grow in and experience for yourself. Okay. God wants to meet with you. God wants you to experience the wonders of eternal life. It's for you. It's not for somebody to just tell you about it. I'm telling you about it, and I'm learning just like you are.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You can stand up right now, and we're going to have... I'm decreeing, if you feel stuck... I'm decreeing a breakthrough. I'm decreeing a way to be made that there is no way. Okay. I'm decreeing water out of the rock. Hallelujah. I'm decreeing you're right now growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Today is the day of salvation. It isn't tomorrow, and it isn't going to just be tomorrow. It's now. God is now. Faith is now.
Amen.
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 Well, we're going to have, if you come up to the altar, I'm going to have prayer this morning. I know that, and I'm expecting for my own need, but I know that if you have a need, there's going to be prayer going on up here, and expect that God's going to meet that need.
Amen.
Okay.